Sunday school. I think they call it Christian Ed. I used to call it Sunday school. I'm not sure what the proper term is. The reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, reading verses 1 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not able to withstand it at this time. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labors. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. May the read scripture of the Lord be revered. Pastor Dave.
Thank you, Bob. I forgot to say during the announcements, because some of you have been asking how the tag sale went, and we didn't have it. You know, we do it in the town now, on the town-wide one, and they decided it would be best to postpone it. So it's going to be next Saturday, same time, 8 to 1. And so if you haven't gotten yourself a Father's Day gift yet, you know, you can go downstairs and help us out and just grab something. That we would appreciate that. And, you know, for Mother's Day, you know, we gave all the women carnation, and we really couldn't think of what to give the men to celebrate Father's Day. So I thought, well, why don't we just do a few dad jokes? So, they may be bad jokes. Here we go. Why did the chicken cross the road? All right. Yeah, you can just yell them right out, okay? All right, here we go. What time should you go to the dentist? There you go. Wow. This is, man, this is a good group. How do you make a Kleenex dance? There you go. Put a little boogie in it. There we go. All right. What happened when the FedEx and UPS merged into one company? They got fed up. All right. Yes. Okay. What do you call a man with a rubber toe? Whoa. I didn't think anyone's going to get that. Man, we do have some dads out there, I see. All right. And did you hear about the restaurant on the moon? Great food, no atmosphere. So, yeah, we know. There we go. All right. Oh, another one. Why did the scarecrow win an award?
Outstanding in his field.
Yeah, boy. Man. Oh, my goodness. All right. I think, there we go. I think that's it. All right. I'm impressed. That was very good. Man. But really, one of the great joys in my life is being able to be a dad. And not saying that every day was a joy. You know, we had our moments. I remember even driving home at times from church and the boys just fighting and arguing and just being a pain to each other. I remember this one particular Sunday driving home and all that was going on. I actually stopped the car, got out, opened the back door, and said, get out and start walking. Well, we were like 3 miles still from the house, so they didn't budge. And they did stop fighting for about a minute. You know, that was about it. But being a dad has been great. And there were days where I felt like I was doing really well as a dad. And then there were other days where I felt like you could give me the Loser Dad of the Year award. And it was so amazing how quickly that can change. I remember this one morning when Linda had been away on a trip. She was away on a trip, and so it was just me and the two boys. And I had Mike in the bathtub. They were very small. Mike was in the bathtub, and I was at the sink along with Dan. I was shaving, and he was brushing his teeth, staying on his little tyke stool. And I remember thinking to myself, boy, you got this dad thing all down. Look at you handling all this. Now, I realized that that I told this story before. So actually, it's probably the only time I ever felt like I had everything together. But it changed very quickly, because now I'm back helping Michael with his bath, and all of a sudden, Danny falls off the stool onto the floor, and he's screaming and crying, and he didn't hit his head on the toilet or anything, so I'm thinking, what's wrong with you? And so I go, I pick him up, and blood is just pouring out of his mouth. So it took a while to stop the bleeding, but right at that moment, I was no longer feeling like I had it all together. So after Michael's prolonged bath, we're in Michael's room. I'm helping Michael get dressed. Dan's his happy, normal self. And I'm starting to, my heartbeat has come back down. And all of a sudden, Danny smiles at me. And all of a sudden, I start to panic again as I realize something looks different. And I realize he had knocked a tooth out. Fortunately, it was a baby tooth. A few years later, he would knock a permanent tooth out. And, it wasn't so permanent. But that happened at recess during school, so that one's not on me, And Grace Johnson had to deal with all that kind of stuff, so that was all right. But now that my boys are, 30 and 28, my role as dad has kind of changed. It's quite different. And as I look back, there are certainly things I wish that I had done differently. And as I look back and as I think back, I have the question in my mind, did I make a difference? And am I still making a difference? And I think that's a question that at some point everyone asks themselves, whether they're a dad, mom, or not. I think a question everyone asks in some way or another is, am I making a difference? And can I make a difference? Because we all want to make a difference. We all want our lives to matter. And I believe that each and every one of us can make a difference. And each and every one of us are to be making a difference. So I just want us to spend a few moments this morning thinking about that question of how can I make a difference? Because for some, this question weighs upon their minds, and even at times can be a little troublesome. And for others, they need to think about this question because they were made for more than they currently are realizing. So in our passage, the Apostle Paul is writing to a church that he describes as being immature. He says, you're still being led by your sinful nature. You're not being led by the Holy Spirit. And part of the reason why he says this is because they are a church that is divided. Some are saying that they follow Paul. Others are saying they follow Apollos. Earlier he has said that, some of you are saying that you follow Peter. And Paul wants no part of that. Paul is not letting himself get caught up in that kind of thinking of whether he or Apollos or Peter are more important. Again, in verses 5 and 6 of our passage, Paul writes, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. And Paul lets these Corinthians know that they are looking at it all wrong. He tells them the focus shouldn't be upon him or upon Apollos or upon any one of us. Instead of deciding, here we go, okay. I thought, they're cutting me off. What's going on? All right. Instead of, the focus being on Paul or on Apollos or any one of us, he says it's more important. And you think about, which one of them is more important and which one of them is doing a better work? He says you need to change your perspective. You need to change your focus. The focus is to be on God. God is the one working, and God is the one causing the growth. We simply are God's servants. And when we make everything about us, about our status, about our position, our perspective is off. Our focus is off. And we will not be as much of a difference. We won't make as much of a difference as God wants us to make. It will limit the difference that we can make. Think of life as a big story. Pastor Leon has at times told us that we should write our story. I think those that went on the trips to Israel, you had to write your story of how you came to faith in Christ and how you know, God drew you to himself and what he's doing in your life. And a great thing to do, and it gives you an opportunity to have it written down and be able to share it with other people. And we each have a story of how God has drawn us to himself and what he's doing in our lives. And that's our story. But what we also have to realize that our story is to be a part of the big story, of God's story. And in God's story, God is the main character in the story. He's the main character. And so if you want to make a difference, you must realize and you must make God the main character in God's story. It's his story. Paul says, why are you making it about me? Why are you making it about Apollos? We are just God's servants. It's all about God. He's the main character, not us. Again, in verse 7, Paul writes, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. And this verb tense for grow actually means to keep growing. It's a continuous growth. God continues to bless the work of Paul. He continues to bless the work of Apollos. And he continues to bless the work that we do as well. See, the Holy Spirit's ongoing work brought growth yesterday, brings growth today, and it'll bring growth tomorrow. It's all about God and what he is doing. And if we're going to make a difference, we must make God the main character in the story and not us. The focus must be upon him and what he is doing in and through us. And so what helped Paul to make such a difference was his decision to make God's story the central part of his life. Paul said to the Philippians, for to me to live is Christ. To the Galatians he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so what will help us to make a difference, and the kind of difference that God wants us to make, is for us to be dependent on, it's all dependent on whose story we make central in our lives. If we're going to be as effective as God wants us to be, it depends on whose story we're going to make central in our lives. For Paul, he made God's story central in his life, and that's what we need to do. We must make God the main character in our story. But another factor that will help us to make a difference is to realize that you have a needed role in the story. You have a needed part in the story. Actor Spencer Garrett was the commencement speaker at Manchester Community College this year. And Spencer Garrett, he's been in a number of many movies, you know, such as Air Force One. He's been in Iron Man 3 and has been on many TV shows and made these various appearances. And so he's how he kind of describes himself, you know, when he's talking, he goes, a lot of people, like if I'm out and I'm at the airport, people kind of, you know, they think, boy, you look familiar, you know, but they can't really place me who I am. So I tell them I'm the guy in that thing. I'm the guy in that thing. And that's kind of who we are in the story. We're not the main character, but we're that guy, we're that girl in that thing. We have a part. We have a support role, and it's a needed role in God's story. Paul, again, writing beginning at verse 5, the second part of it, he says, each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their hard work. Again, first note that Paul says that there's to be unity. Again, this is a church that's divided. He says there needs to be unity. You work together to accomplish the same purpose. You know, he says in verse 16 of this chapter, he says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? In chapter 6, he says how, you know, each of us are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And now he's saying you as a group, you guys all are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's to be this unity, you know, through this whole thing. And we're to work together. And while we're to work together, we each have our own role to play in the story. We each have our own role. Paul says the person who plants the seed has a role. The person who waters the seed has a role. Both have a role. Both are needed. And it's silly to sit around and argue about what role is more important. Which role is more important is the wrong question. The better question is, did each role accomplish its purpose, its task? See, God sometimes does the miraculous, and he does it on his own. But most often, God chooses to use you and me to accomplish his work. Last time I spoke, we talked a little bit about how Jesus chose to use others in performing his miracle of feeding the 5,000. Jesus could have done it on his own, but he chose to use a young boy with his 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he chose to use his disciples as he had them, you know, get the people in groups of 50 or 100. And as he had them help pass out the food and then collect the leftovers afterwards. The boy had a role. The disciples had a role. And each and every one of us have a role in the big story, in God's story. You know, later in this same letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 12, Paul compares the church to a human body. And again, he's showing the oneness. He says, you guys are one body. But also in this passage, he makes it very clear that each part has a much needed part in the body. He writes in verse 15 of chapter 12, he says, if the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. We all realize that our bodies don't function as well if all the parts aren't doing their thing. And the older we get, we're realizing that more and more, you know, as things get difficult. And it's the same thing in the body of Christ. You know, we all have a part. You have a role. And what will help you to make a difference is to realize that you do have a role, and it's a much needed role. And we each find our greatest meaning and purpose as that supporting character when our lives revolve around God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit as being the authors and main characters in the story. And so what you and I need to understand is that no matter what you do, no matter what part you play, every part matters. No matter how big or how small you may feel or think that it is, doing your part matters. You matter more than you think. Because in God's story, everyone has a role to play. Again, in chapter 3, in verse 10, Paul talks about how he laid the foundation through his evangelistic efforts there in Corinth. And he says, now Apollos, he's building upon that foundation through his teaching ministry. They each had a role, and each of us have a role. And God has gifted us differently and given us different abilities to accomplish the roles that he has for us to do and the tasks that he has for us to do. Again, in chapter 12, verse 4, Paul writes, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. God is working, and he's given us different gifts and different abilities to work together to contribute to his story. He has gifted you to contribute to his big story. We're all unique. We're all different. We're all wired differently. We have different life experiences, and God uses all those things and makes us unique. And some of you are great communicators. Some of you are great conversationalists. You could talk to anyone, anytime, anywhere. Some of you guys have great sense of humors and know all kind of dad jokes and everything, and you can make the quietest person and shyest person smile and laugh. You know, some of you are great with your hands and great at fixing things and making things. And some of you just have these tremendous intellects and these keen minds, which are just amazing. You know, and some of you have great athletic ability. And some of you are great, just great at encouraging people and great at making people feel welcome. And all these various things, yes, you had to work and you have developed them, but all of them have come to you as a gift from God. So first and foremost, be humble. God has gifted you. And so realize that, but also use those gifts to help other people. You weren't given those gifts just to keep for yourself or to promote yourself. You were given those gifts so that you can help other people. God wants you to use those gifts for his story and for his glory. I mean, think of God's story as a six-act story. The first act would be creation. You know, the second act would be the fall when Adam and Eve sinned. The third act would be the covenant, all right? And then the fourth act would be Jesus. Then if you jump to the sixth act would be Jesus' return and all that follows after that. But the fifth act is actually one that you and I help get to create. You see, the fifth act is still partially missing. The New Testament, you know, church, through the power of the Holy Spirit, got the first act started. And now it's the same Holy Spirit who is working in you and through you and other Jesus followers, writing and living out the second part of Act number 5. And you have a needed role in Act number 5. And you can make a difference. Kara Powell writes this. She says, our lives matter because we are part of the ongoing plot of what God has done, is doing, and will do in our world. Now, I'm sure some of you are thinking, well, I don't know what my role is. I don't even know what my gifts are, you know. Well, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Leon, you know, he talked about how, you know, we should try different things, and that can help us see where our gifts, you know, are, the things that we enjoy doing and helping with. And as we try those things, it also helps others to kind of see where our gifts are, and they can encourage us in those things. And so first and foremost, you know, look and see where God is at work and just kind of jump in, join in with that. But here are some questions you could ask yourself if you're trying to figure out, I don't know where I fit in, what I should do. What do you like or love to do? What do you feel, when do you feel most alive? What gifts or talents do others see in you? What are you doing when you feel most connected to others? What are you doing in those moments when you feel closest to God? You know, these are some questions you could, you know, think about and can help you as you determine that. But again, some of you are probably saying, Dave, you're not helping me at all. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know where I'm gifted, so how in the world can I make a difference? Well, here's the last thing I want to say. In God's story, God just wants you to be who he created you to be. God just wants you to be who he created you to be right here, right now, with the people around you. God said in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, he said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. You are created in the image of God. And when we talk about being created in the image of God, you know, we often focus, and rightfully so, on how that shows our value and just how special we are. We are the only part of everything God has created that bears his image. And we are unique, and we have value purely because of that. And we, again, always need to remember that every single person is created in God's image, and that they need to be treated with value and dignity, regardless of how we may feel about their lifestyle or their political views or their religious views. We're all created in the image of God, and we have tremendous value. And while there is much discussion over what it fully means to be created in the image of God, you know, and I'll leave that for all of you with the keen minds to talk about and discuss, but certainly part of what it means is that we are to reflect God. We are to be a representation of him. Now, we aren't made in God's physical image. You know, we can't, you know, God doesn't have a body, so we're not made physically in his image. And we're not like him in his omni attributes, like we don't know everything. We can't be everywhere at once. We don't see everything. We're not all powerful. But we are to be a representation, a reflection, a likeness of him to one another in his attributes, his qualities such as love, truth, grace, respect, generosity, forgiveness, goodness, kindness, mercy, compassion, patience. We are to reflect God, and when we do, we make a difference. When we act in accordance with God's nature, we are being a reflection, a representation of Him. When we reflect God, we are drawing people's attention to God, and we are pointing people to God. I mean, think about a statue. The purpose of a statue is to make a person think about the original subject. And so we, as God image bearers, we are meant to make others think of God and who He is. And when we do that, we draw people's attention to Him, and we bring glory to Him as we're living out and being like Him. Now, I realize that sin has impacted our desire and our ability for us to image God fully. But we need to remember that Jesus is renewing us and transforming us. Paul writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 8. He says, God knew His people in advance and chose them to be conformed to the image of His Son. Paul writes to the Colossians, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. We are told in the Bible that we are to walk and live as Jesus did. We are told to live as children of light, showing the fruit of the light, of goodness, of righteousness, of truth. We are told to seek good, to love good, to be good, to do good, that we are created for good works. We are told to love God and love other people. We're told to walk in the way of love, just as Jesus loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We are told to love others as Jesus has loved us. Jesus' love was a patient love, a selfless love, a giving love, a generous love. A young boy from India gives us a great example of being generous and selfless in love. A pastor had gone to Calcutta to work with Mother Teresa. And every day they would go out to play with the kids and hang out with the kids on the streets of Calcutta. And they would play games with them. And they would show them and tell them about God's love and just how much God loved them. Well, one day this pastor found out that this one kid that he had kind of gotten close to during his time there, that it was his birthday. So he and the other leaders, you know, they wanted to do something for him because they knew that this boy wasn't, you know, his family couldn't do anything for him. He wasn't going to have a party. He wasn't going to have any gifts. So they thought, what we could do for him? What could we do for him, even if it was a small thing? Well, they decided that they would buy him an ice cream cone. And so they planned on calling this kid off to the side, you know, away from the rest of the group, because they knew they couldn't just give one kid an ice cream cone in Calcutta in the middle of the summer. And so they would call him over and just want to present it to him and just let him know how much they loved him and just wanted to celebrate his birthday. So they call him over, and again, they love on him, and they tell him, you know, they just want to celebrate him and his birthday. And they give him the ice cream cone. And the boy gets this huge smile on his face. And he takes hold of the ice cream cone, and he kind of just stares at it for a moment. Then he turns around to all the other kids. And he yells out to them. He says, hey, everybody, we got ice cream. Everybody gets a lick. And he had all everyone go and lick it. Even the pastor got a lick of the ice cream. Now, I'm a bit of a germaphobe, so I think that's disgusting, you know? But beyond that, I do not share my desserts, you know? Linda will attest to that. I don't share my desserts. But I just love this boy's response. He wasn't worried about making sure that he got as much ice cream as he possibly could. He wasn't worried about how long it would be before he even got another ice cream. All he wanted to do was share the good thing that had been given to him with those around him. That young boy made a difference. And we reflect God when we are generous, when we are selfless, when we are compassionate, when we show love. You know, when Jesus was asked, you know, what is the greatest commandment? He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so when we love God and love other people, we are living out our purpose, and we're making a difference. Doing that exactly where you are and only the way that you can is exactly what God wants for you. See, God is always in the business of making the world right. And that's a story that you and I can join right here and right now. God wants you to change your world. You know, at communion time, we often say the Lord's Prayer. And so part of the Lord's Prayer is, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God wants us to be his hands and feet, helping his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, sometimes it can be easy for us to kind of point out everything wrong in the world. And it's good to know what's wrong in the world, you know. But if it just stays at that, that's not enough. If we see that something is wrong, you know, God wants us to do something about it. You know, work to make it right. Work to make it better. Spencer Garrett, again, the commencement speaker at Manchester Community College, his challenge to the graduates there was, make the story better. Make the story better. And I think that's biblical. I think it's pretty biblical to me. See, when we love God and when we love people, who even people that might be a little difficult to love, we make the story better. And when we are patient and when we're kind and when we're compassionate, when we're selfless, we make the story better. When we love justice, show mercy, and walk humbly with God, we make the story better. When we tell others about Jesus and what he has done in each of our lives, we make the story better. When we tell others about Jesus, we give hope to the hopeless, and we make the story better. You can make a difference. And what will help you to make a difference is to remember that God's the main character. But also remember that you have a role, a much needed, important role in the story. And remember that God just wants you to be the wonderful self that he created you and is renewing you to be. So go and make a difference and change your world for Christ. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you that you involve us in your work. And Father, I pray that we would realize the most important thing in life is having a relationship with you. And it's just not about getting to heaven. Well, that is great, and we look forward to that. But we have a relationship with you right now. And you want us to live for you and reflect you and draw people to you. And you want us to reach out to those who are hurting and those who are in need. You want us to reach out to those who don't know you and don't understand what you have done for them and share the good news with them. Father, I ask that you'll help us to be people that have eyes that are open, that are looking around, seeing where the needs are, and looking to see what we can do for it. Thank you so much for all that these people are doing. Thank you for the way that they have encouraged me, the way that they have helped me, the way that so many have gotten involved in so many different ways and in so many different areas through the years. And Father, I pray that each one of us will keep looking to see what you have for us next. What's next for you to have us to do, that we might make a difference for you, that there would be more lovers of Jesus because of how you use each and every one of us. We thank you for the privilege of that. We thank you for the way that you have worked and continue to work in each one of our lives. We give you thanks and praise for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and sing.